Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. This week marks 2 years since the Robb Elementary School massacre, and today the families of the 19 students and two teachers killed have announced a settlement with the city. Each family will get $2 million, and attorney Josh Koshkoff says Uvalde's also promising to better train its police force.
These were the last lines of defense for these children, but they were failed long before the shooting.
He announced new lawsuits against Texas Department of Public Safety officers. Home prices getting more expensive in California. For the first time ever, the median home price in the state tops $900,000. Elvis Presley's home is not being sold. A judge in Tennessee halted the sale of Graceland for now, finding the company that wants to sell it committed fraud. And British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak called a snap election for July 4th, even as polls show his conservatives trailing the Labor Party. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. People across Wisconsin are waking up to power outages, downed trees, and other storm damage. In the Madison area, more than 40,000 people lost power. In Green Bay, roofs were ripped off buildings. A few thousand are without power this morning in the Eau Claire area. This list just goes on and on. While there were tornado warnings throughout the evening, straight-line winds are often responsible for the majority of this kind of damage. You'll want to leave yourself extra time as you drive the kids to school or head into work. And the Poet Laureate of the United States will be here in Wisconsin Thursday. Ada Limon was given the title in 2022. This is part of a series hosted by the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters. She'll be speaking at the Overture Center's Playhouse at 7, and tickets are still available. If you're not near Madison, there are watch parties statewide in Ashland, Eau Claire, Sheboygan, Verona, and Viroqua. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A new blood donation center has officially opened in Duluth. According to a Northern News Now report, blood donors gathered outside Memorial Blood Center's new facility for its grand opening on Tuesday. The opening comes at a vital time for the city, as local officials have said for weeks they've been dealing with a shortage of blood donations. The new building will offer expanded capacity to keep up with demand as best it can, as well as a number of new amenities for donors. More information on their services is available online. Opening arguments began in a long unsolved Polk County murder trial on Monday. Earlier this year, authorities arrested Mary Jo Bailey of Arizona for the 1985 murder of Yvonne Menke outside of her apartment in St. Croix Falls. The criminal complaint alleges that Menke and Bailey were both dating the same man at the same time, and one of Menke's daughters took the witness stand after the opening arguments. Bailey's attorney argued that there was no DNA evidence to link her 81-year-old client to the crime. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers' Christian Yelich with a dramatic triple in the eighth to drive in the go-ahead runs led to a Brewers 7-5 victory last night over the Marlins. Pat Murphy says don't forget about the performance of their two rookie pitchers, Robert Gasser to start and Tobias Myers to get the W.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? That helped us immensely. But the Marlins getting back in it is what hurts us. Tobias Myers, he got two rookies throwing seven innings. That was big.
NFL Packers OTAs continue in Green Bay. Some injured players, tight end Tucker Kraft recovering from a pectoral injury. New running back Josh Jacobs with a hamstring. Wide receiver Christian Watson was asked how he's doing after attending sessions at UW-Madison on overcoming his chronic hamstring issues.
I definitely feel like I'm at 100%. But, I mean, there's still a little bit of asymmetry there, and that's just something I'm attacking, you know, with the training staff in the weight room. Obviously, just got to continue to get that right so there's not any risks in the future.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sun today and a few spotty showers lingering, alongside breezy winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s and we'll get a shove warmer tomorrow to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 65.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up next on the show, a special edition of the Recombobulation Area with Dan Schaefer. Paul Noonan talks all things sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinair on air.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a stacked show for you today. I was going to just jump into all the things that are wrong with Justice Samuel Alito. But, you know, when the gift that is Donald Trump giveth, you must taketh.
He does have a large repertoire.
Indeed. So let's, and all of this, just everyone rest assured, this is all but prequel to the Samuel Alito takedown that shall be Wednesday, May 2nd. Make a note, it shall commence forthwith, but we got to set up the stage, right?
Well, yeah, any proper takedown needs receipts.
Yes, we got to have the receipts. We got to set it up correctly. Don't y'all worry, I brought the receipts. There's photographic evidence. You know, this is how we do, us lawyer folk. But let's begin in New York City with our antagonist, Donald Trump. Yesterday, after his hush money trial, Trump, of course, always, you know, gathers the press and speaks, to his lawyer's chagrin, I'm certain, somewhat extemporaneously, to the gathered masses. I've kind of studiously avoided the ridiculousness because it's kind of the same thing every day.
It can only take so much.
Right. But yesterday, I had to take note. Shall we take a wee bit of a listen to what Trump had to say yesterday?
It loathes him. Oh, I'm so surprised. And so does Mershon. Loathes me. The judge hates Donald Trump. Just take a look. Take a look at him. Take a look at where he comes from.
Okay, first of all, let's just observe talking about yourself in the third person.
Donald Trump doesn't like this. Donald Trump doesn't like
right.
that.
Right. What if you couldn't hear it, because he's, of course, standing in a courtroom, in a courthouse sort of rotunda, and it's very echoey. He said, he loathes me. Judge Merchan loathes me. He's talking about the judge overseeing his hush money trial. Of course, this may amount to yet another violation of the gag order, but again, issue for another day. What I want to focus in on is he goes on and says, as you just heard, the judge hates Donald Trump. Just take a look. Take a look at him. Take a look at where he comes from.
What does that mean, and where does he come from?
Well, Judge Merchan was born in Bogota, Colombia, and moved to Queens, New York at the age of 6. He's, of course, a citizen. He went to Baruch College, and he got a Juris Doctorate from Hofstra University School of Law.
Oh, so it seems like he came from humble beginnings and made something of himself.
Right.
Sounds like it's an American dream. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But what he's implying is that somehow this man with Colombian origins can't possibly be fair, right? That's what we're talking about.
Well, anybody here who disagrees with them can't be here.
Of course. Now, interesting point of fact, there is another judge that's overseeing a Trump case that's also from Colombia, also the daughter of immigrants. Do you know of whom I might be speaking?
Perhaps the one that he agrees with?
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yes, that Aileen Cannon, the judge overseeing what I think is the clearest of all of Trump's criminal trials. Yes, Judge Aileen Cannon in the district court out of Florida is also from Colombia. Never seems to mention that fact.
Just take a look at where she comes from.
Yeah, yeah. She's got to be wrong because, you know, take a look at where she comes from. Again, it's racist. And in case there's any dispute, Brian and I went to great lengths to prepare for all of your listening enjoyment some of Donald Trump's greatest racist hits. I mean, there are so many of them to choose from, frankly.
These are themed. These are themed racist hits.
Yeah, yes. They and, you know, they span years and years. If you want to go way back into the archives, you need only look further than the first major lawsuit Silver Spoon DJT was involved with his father in the early 80s. They owned lots of apartment buildings and were accused credibly by the U.S. Department of Justice, and they ended up settling, that they engaged in overt racial discrimination as to their tenants. And there were documents saying as much. Basically, like, don't rent to those black and brown people. So that's the way back machine, right? But we needn't go that far back.
No, I mean, you know, maybe he may have maybe rehabilitated himself or found that that's a bad thing and learned his, I'm sorry, I can't say, learned his lesson.
No.
He can't do that.
No, no, no. And if you can fast forward to the 90s and you've got the Central Park Five and the full page advertisement in the New York Times calling for their execution. Of course, those men were exonerated.
But without him, those people would not have had a movie made of their lives.
They should say thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Donald Trump, for calling for my execution. You've made me famous.
I mean, it's the American dream as well, is just to, you know, be made famous.
Yeah, by being falsely accused for a terrible rape and murder.
However it happens, the end result is that you're famous. Congratulations.
Yes. No matter how many years you may spend in prison. But I thought, you know, again, this first hour, all of this is but prequel and setup to talk about all of the things that are incredibly wrong with Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. They're legion. But in order to get there, what I'm sharing with you is Donald Trump attacks judges and prosecutors. He frequently likes to attack judges and prosecutors, and particularly Judge Mershon, because they of their ethnic or racial origins or background. Here, Judge Mershon was born in Colombia, so he attacks the man and says, he's doing everything in his power to hurt me. Just take a look at where he comes from. As if, you know, here in the United States, we believe that people are going to be biased as judges because of their race. I mean, I wonder what Clarence Thomas thinks about that.
He's been quite silent on pretty much all matters.
Mm-hmm. He asked the first question and then no more questions. He's a first question kind of guy. Anyways, so let us refresh our collective recollections. This is a sampling. And again, the reason I'm doing this is Donald Trump attacks judges as being biased, having conflicts of interest, of being impossibly compromised, that they cannot possibly render an objective and fair judgment, that they can't sit and oversee any of his cases because they're so terribly compromised. And I think it's important that we understand, one, a lot of that is just loaded in racism. But we got to understand, like, that's the attack line. And then we'll talk about Justice Alito and what an actual conflict of interest looks like. But let us refresh our collective recollections. This is from, this is the December 17th, 2023. This is the poisoning the blood of our country sound. If you've got that, Brian, let's refresh our recollections.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done.
Yeah. Those immigrants.
When asked about it, he actually clarified that he meant all immigrants.
Yes. Not just
it's not better.
Not just the ones from Africa and Central and South America. No. All of the immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. If you want to join our conversation, you want to text and participate, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So that was just this past December, a little recently. Now, if you think he's actually not courting the racist vote, again, let us disavow you of that incorrect factual notion. No. He actively courts white supremacists and racists. And we need only hear it from his own words. This is February 29th, 2016. This is the former MAGA president, proclaimed racist, being interviewed by Jake Tapper. Let's take a listen, Brian.
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay? I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or white supremacists. I have to look at the group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about. You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I'd have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them, and certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. But you may have groups in there that are totally fine, and it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups and I'll let you know.
I'm sorry, what?
That's a hell of a follow-up. Hey, Mr. President, I have a list for you of people to condemn.
The KKK, sir. Well, give me a list. Which KKK? Are you talking about the bad KKK or the very fine KKK?
Are they like the worst of AAA? Is it like AAA where they have a car service?
Yeah. Is it like the Better Business Bureau of white supremacists that he needs to consult? I don't know who David Duke is. This is right after David Duke endorsed him, by the way. That's what led.
I don't know these people that endorse me. I just like him.
Who is? I don't know about this. I don't know about white supremacists. Like, he's never heard the term. And again, if you thought he wasn't courting the extremist, anti-Semitic, racist groups, don't worry, we have lots more. I mean, many, many, many more sounds.
Oh, we got a couple receipts here. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I noticed, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear Donald Trump sound, and it's kind of triggering. It kind of is for me, too. I mean, yes, I had to deal with it a lot. But and try and think of it not necessarily in his voice as much as the voice of a, I don't like it. I don't like me.
Or take it completely, take it out of Donald Trump's mouth and put it in the mouth of your mother, your sister, your spouse, or someone speaking like that about your kid, right? Think about it in those terms. Stop with the partisan politics of it. Forget that. See the thing for exactly what it is, hate-filled racism of the highest order and degree. Again, all this prequel to eventually talk about what an actual judicial conflict of interest is. We just set up the pins and we knock them down together. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us. We'll take a look at some texts, maybe take a call or two when we get back. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is the setup for the epic takedown of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment. I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
I don't stand by anything. I just, you can take it the way you want.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, I'm working my way around to a takedown of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. But talking about Alito, Justice Alito, needs some setup. And it needs some setup because the former MAGA president keeps talking about how biased judges are, how they're just out to get him. And I think we need to review that before we talk about what actual conflicts are. And the reason we're talking about Donald Trump as someone who embraces racist language, that's the most mild interpretation, is because he often uses nativist or racial lenses to critique judges. He's done it in 2016. He's doing it again with Judge Mershon in New York City. And I want to be very clear. I do not believe that conservatives are all racists. That's ridiculous. I think most conservatives operate from a place of good faith and want to be anything but that. But again, you know, to the extent you are the company that you keep and that your vote is an expression of the values that you have, and your candidate, the former MAGA president, repeatedly rinse, wash, repeat, keeps using racist language, I think it poses a difficult question for you. Do you want to endorse someone who embraces racist language to court, frankly, a very scary element in the United States? Chris from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say I greatly appreciate having Brian back on the show.
Me too.
I really miss him for a long time.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I love having Mr. Kelly back in the hot seat with me. It's fun.
It's fun stretching the brain again because I haven't used these muscles in about 2 years.
Well, again, applause and my thanks, Brian. Great to have you back. Thanks, Chris and Madison for listening and calling. Okay, so we listened to Donald Trump yesterday critique Judge Mershon. Should we give him a little flavor again? Just refreshing the recollection. This is Trump yesterday talking about Juan Mershon overseeing his trial in New York City.
Loathes him. Oh, I'm so surprised. And so does Mershon. Loathes me. The judge hates Donald Trump. Just take a look. Take a look at him. Take a look at where he comes from.
Yep, that right there. Then Trump in 2023, poisoning the blood of our country. Of course, those immigrants, all of them.
They're poisoning the blood of our country. That's what they've done.
Yep, that's straight from Adolf Hitler, Goebbels, and the like, Nazism. And then, you know, February 2016 with Jake Tapper. No, I don't know, the KKK, David Duke, who was that?
Well, just so you understand, I don't know anything about David Duke, okay?
No.
I don't know anything about what you're even talking about with white supremacy or
what?
White supremacists.
What?
I have to look at the
what?
Group. I mean, I don't know what group you're talking about.
What?
You wouldn't want me to condemn a group that I know nothing about. I have to look. If you would send me a list of the groups, I will do research on them. And certainly I would disavow if I thought there was something wrong. But you may have groups in there that are totally fine. And it would be very unfair. So give me a list of the groups and I'll let you know.
Note to Donald Trump, the next time someone's like, do you disavow the KKK? The answer is yes. Just say yes.
If somebody asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Clearly. I am your, what is it? I am your salvation. What does he say all the time? I am
the chosen one.
Yes, I am the chosen one. I am your vengeance and retribution.
Yeah,
I've digressed. We're now talking about Donald Trump and religion. Let's get back to it. Then addressing the Proud Boys, listed by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group that engages in all sorts of racist tropes. This is September of 2020 on a debate
but
stage.
But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you prepared
I'm willing to
specifically
do, that, but
do it?
Well, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it. Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
right
wing.
Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right wing.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Oh, thank you.
Stand by. Just stand by.
Just what? Until I give you the signal on January 6th, 2021, and we'll get there. Don't worry.
We have a plan. Don't worry.
Why is this so? It's hard because he wants these people to feel like they have a place with him. That's it. Okay? And let us not forget Charlottesville. This is May 2016. He's being asked by a reporter. He's standing in Trump Tower in his gilded golden palace with his gilded golden toilet. I think something we all aspire to. But I don't think we all aspire to this view of Donald Trump's about neo-Nazis. Let's take a listen.
But I have a judge who is a hater of Donald Trump. A hater.
Yeah, that's hater. We'll get this one. This is
kill the person. Heather Heyer,
Charlottesville. They showed up in Charlottesville.
Excuse me.
To protest.
Excuse me. They didn't let themselves down as you. And you had some very bad people in that group, but you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Now let's listen to just the very start of this because the report, it's hard to hear, but the reporter is asking. Donald Trump keeps trying to say, "Oh, it was the left. It was the left. It was the left." And the reporter's like, yeah, but the rally was organized by neo-Nazis, sir. Will you condemn that? So you hear this tiny bit of lead up. It's not mic'd well. But the reporter's saying, like, the neo-Nazis started it, sir. Please talk about those people. Just a little flavor from the beginning again.
Neo-Nazis started this.
Very fine people on both sides. We began with Trump's nativist comments about Judge Mershon yesterday. And I mentioned that he's done this before. He's used nativism, xenophobia, racism to draw into question the objectivity of judges overseeing legal matters involving Donald Trump. But he did it again. This isn't new. He did it in May 2016. By the way, just a quick correction. The Charlottesville press conference happened on August 14th, 2017. That's why I screwed Brian up. That was my fault.
It's all right.
We got there. So this is May 2016. Donald Trump. We're going to take a quick little... Okay. We're going to listen to this. Do we have enough time for it, Brian? I think we do. Let's take a listen.
But I have a judge who is a hater of Donald Trump. A hater. He's a hater. His name is Gonzalo Curiel. We're in front of a very hostile judge. The judge was appointed by Barack Obama, federal judge. I mean, frankly, he should recuse himself. Because he's given us ruling after ruling after ruling, negative, negative, negative. The judge, who happens to be, we believe, Mexican, which is great. I think that's fine. You know what? I think the Mexicans are going to end up loving Donald Trump when I give all these jobs, okay? I think they're going to love.
So that was Trump in May of 2016 talking about Judge Gonzalo Curiel. We're going to take a couple of quick messages. You're going to hear the farm update. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about why all this matters for Alito. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Power outages, down trees, just a couple of the signs that Wisconsin has suffered some severe weather damage. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. If you're fortunate enough that you avoided that severe weather, you still should be prepared. What do you need to be prepared? Some advice on the way.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it? Oh!
Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No!
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Abby Weiss, Director of Claims, says one of the best things that a farm can do is document what you've got before the storm. She said photographic pictures of equipment in a shed, the shed that it's in, and even the barn can go a long way to get your claim resolved.
So several things that you can do around the farm to be prepared for the season. I mean, know what you have. Create an inventory of what you have and where, so that if you have a catastrophic event where you lose an entire building or you have that in place ahead of time so that you can refer back to it and say, this is exactly what I have, or here's a video of what I had. You can also, tidy up any loose ends. You know, is there a barn door that's been loose and you want to secure it before you have a wind event?
Abby Weiss, Director of Claims with Rural Mutual Insurance.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
And we're also thinking about our specialty crop producers after the storm, like Michelle Ovens. She grows peonies in the Beaver Dam area and was getting ready to host the Wisconsin Arts and Peony Festival June 7th through the 9th. She tells us that a bad hailstorm that came through her field in early April did substantial damage to her plants, damaging 80% of her field. That means she'll have no cut flowers to sell in 2024. If you've got a story to share with us about the severe weather that crossed Wisconsin overnight, use our Midwest Farm Report Talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. You can call it or text it, 877-301-3276. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
More clouds than sun today and a few spotty showers lingering, alongside breezy winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s and we'll get a shove warmer tomorrow to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Todd Alba here. Join us next time as we welcome Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project in, looking at the day's headlines and also what's ahead for the Republican and Democratic state conventions. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Justice Alito, I'm coming for you. Nowhere to run. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This first hour is me getting around to why Samuel Alito is unfit to serve on any court, but especially the Supreme Court. To do so, I wanted to take down and expose and remind us all that Donald Trump daily questions the independence, objectivity, and fitness of all of the many judges, except for the ones that rule in his favor, across all the different jurisdictions. And is one of his favorite lines of attack is, well, just look at where the judge is from. They can't possibly be objective, which, of course, is racist because he's talking about Latino judges. We don't assume someone can't be objective as a judge or an attorney because someone is of a particular race. Right? We don't assume men can't hear cases involving women. Right? That's not an American idea.
I'm sorry. I was being a man and I wasn't listening.
Oh, Brian. So disappointed in you. So just to refresh our recollection, he said that Judge Mershon yesterday cannot oversee his case fairly because just look at where he's from. And he said this back in 2016 about Judge Gonzalo Curiel. Let's just listen to that one more time.
But I have a judge who is a hater of Donald Trump. A hater. He's a hater. His name is Gonzalo Curiel.
Yeah, and it goes on for a while.
I gotta say, he was way better 8 years ago.
Oh, I was... Brian, as I was listening to this stuff, I thought to myself, Brian and I have to put together like Trump 8 years ago and Trump today when he's giving speeches. Not the same guy.
No, he was way like he was way more fun back then, yeah. Honestly. I mean,
if
he was still just
into that
dabbling
kind of
into kind of, yeah. You know, crazy. Now it's just full on. Yep.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
I'll get you one.
Okay. Diet, please. Diet. Here's what Fox News, the interview that transpired right after Fox News said this in May of 2016. Let's take a look.
And he holds a law degree from Harvard University. Bill, this is you tell me that I'm a journalist here at Fox News and I've been doing legal commentary here for 10 years. This is out of line.
Yeah, it's out of line. It's a shame, too, because it was a good day. It was an important day for Trump. With the Paul Ryan thing, which I know you want to get to, but it's unfortunate. Look, to refer to the guy's ethnicity as grounds for his decision, who knows? You know, we don't know what will motivate the guy, but we believe in this country that ethnicity is not intellectual destiny, that you can overcome all sorts of things and you can be independent. I'm Irish, that doesn't mean I support the IRA. So again, what I think we said last time, I said last time to you, Megan, he takes a step forward or two steps forward and then a step back and steps on his own foot.
And so, first of all, people are saying that this judge is a member of La Raza, the group that's been protesting Donald Trump. He isn't. He's a member of a Hispanic Lawyers Association that has no partisan stripes whatsoever. They support Hispanic lawyers and judges. That's it. So let's be clear on that. Secondly, the man is not Mexican. Donald Trump keeps saying he's American. His parents are Mexican. He's of Mexican heritage. He was born in Indiana. Third, he has no conflict of interest, Bill. Now Donald Trump is saying the judge needs to be investigated. Someone should look into him. Just because he's ruled against Donald Trump in this litigation repeatedly, he certified the class and he denied the motion for summary judgment. That doesn't make you biased. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Big mistake.
Yeah, big mistake. So don't take my word for it. Take Fox News's word for it. Take Bill Bennett, the former education secretary and lawyer from Harvard University, education secretary for Ronald Reagan. Take those conservative voices. Credit those that say this isn't a conflict of interest. This isn't. Just a hat tip to Sherry checking in. Matt from Germantown calling it so disgusting. Greg also saying hello to me and Fancy Brian. Dick from Madison, you're on the air.
Yeah, the worst part about all this with him, Maggie, is no one or very few people ever call him on anything that he says. The preposterous stuff. Like the other day, for instance, I've done more for black people than Abraham Lincoln. And on and on and on it goes. And what's next out of the guy's mouth? I've done more to promote the the Lord himself than Christ has?
Yeah, that he said that, right? He said, I'm more of a Christian. I love the Bible more than anybody else. I mean, it's just, it's the same stuff all of the time. I've done more for black people.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
Thank you, Brian. But now that we know, according to Fox News and the former education secretary for Ronald Reagan, what isn't a conflict of interest, let me tell you what is. Because last week, as an attorney, I was absolutely mortified. You've all heard about this, that Justice Samuel Alito, days after the January 6th violent insurrection to stop the peaceful transition of power in our country, flew the American flag outside of his home upside down, which was a symbol that had been adopted by election deniers and insurrectionists leading up to January 6th. It was their calling card. Now, I'm going to set aside for purposes of this discussion how disgusting it was that the insurrectionist, election-denying, liar, pants on fire, adopted what is a maritime and military signal or symbol of distress and made it theirs. You're not patriots, you're traitors. I'm going to set that aside. But days after January 6th, days after a woman died, police officers were violently attacked and beaten, Justice Alito put a symbol, a flag outside of his house that said, I stand with these people. I stand with insurrectionists. I stand with those that brought the Confederate flags to our Capitol. I stand with those who bludgeoned police officers. I stand with those who defecated in the Capitol. I stand with those who urinated on the House floor. You do that, you hate this country. A Supreme Court justice hates this country, hates our process, hates our democracy, hates losing so badly he will side with traitors. Now, it flew there for several days in response to the reporting by the New York Times, Jody Cantor. Alito's responded, and some of his surrogates, talkers on the right, have responded. The first excuse was, well, I didn't do it. My wife did it. And it was in response to some other neighbor putting up a profane flag that said, duck Donald Trump or duck Trump. Okay, so, we were just doing it in response. My wife did it. First of all, you coward, it's in front of your house. I'll get to why that doesn't matter that his wife did it. The other thing that he said was, I had a problem with the duck Trump sign because school buses were running, and so we felt there was this dispute with the neighbors, so he put it up. Of course, the problem with that's a lie. School buses weren't running in January of 2021 in Alexandria, Virginia, because the schools were shut down.
Huh. Oh, yeah. That was a thing, huh?
Fact thing.
That's crazy.
Liar.
So you have a problem with those words, but you have no problem with any of the words of anybody else that support. Okay, great. Cool. Mm-hmm. Just consistency. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the final excuse from the some of the conservative talkers is, he didn't really know what that meant. Well, if you didn't know what it meant, then you wouldn't know to fly the flag that way, would you?
No. And this is a judge from the highest court in the land. Mm-hmm. You would think maybe some sort of, any sort of awareness of the world around you would be part of the equation.
You know. And the truth of the matter is there had been an incredible push on social media, right? Like, maybe I would buy that, except it had been all over social media. The images had been on television. He no doubt saw all of that. It doesn't matter that it was your wife because it was in front of your own house. And you said as an excuse that it was in response to someone targeting Donald Trump. So, of course, you knew what it meant. I mean, like, then why didn't you put out a flag that says, shh, no swearing allowed? If that was, like, if it was.
I got my no swearing flag. And have one. Because I guarantee you, like, because nobody has more flags ever in the history of anything than the right-wing crazies. So there has to be a flag for literally anything.
And here's the problem. the rules of the Supreme Court that are given to staff explicitly prohibit any partisan political activity. So he just admitted on the record that he was engaging in partisan political activity. I was offended. My family, my wife was so offended by the Duck Trump flag that I put up a counter flag. That's what he said. That's supporting Donald Trump. You have just admitted to violating the rules that apply to your law clerks and everyone else that works in the Supreme Court. So the rules are good for them, but not for you. And don't worry, he's written Wall Street Journal op-eds that say, no, there are no rules that apply to me. I am above the law. It's funny that this is the same guy that's going to rule on Trump's immunity case and find that Trump is, you know, above the law.
I feel like we had a dispute with the monarchy in England about this type of exact
thing.
I don't know. Far be it for me to call founding fathers immediately, but I call founding fathers.
I don't get it. Partisan political activity is not permitted by federal judges. Their staff can't even put a bumper sticker on their car. Doesn't matter if it's their wife's car.
Didn't Scott Walker have an issue about this kind of thing? I feel like there was an issue with them. I don't know. It's so far away.
Yeah, you can't campaign. You can't advance political activity as a judge. You can't do that. And even so, this comes out now, and we've got the appeals of all these convictions of the January 6th insurrectionists, and we have the immunity case pending. He needs to recuse himself. Of course, he's not going to do that. You just need to read the other Wall Street Journal articles. This is what you call the actual appearance, the very reality-based appearance of a conflict of interest. This is what judicial bias actually looks like. But even if you go back to that period of time, just days after January 6th, at the time, pending before the Supreme Court, were cases about the 2020 election. One of them. And the court declined to hear the case. But guess who wanted to hear the case? Justice Alito. So while he was flying his pro-Trump flag in front of his home, that very same man who will sit for the rest of his natural-born life on the highest court in this land had a case before him about whether or not to hear, to decide a dispute over the 2020 election while he had a flag flying in support of one of the candidates that was in the 2020 election. That is judicial bias. Now, maybe you don't, we'll let that one go. How about this? How about billionaires buying Supreme Court justices trips worth tens of thousands of dollars in 2008, having around 10 or so cases that potentially would benefit that billionaire coming up before the court in many years afterwards, culminating in a decision by the Supreme Court in 2016 that ended up netting that billionaire that paid for Justice Alito's private plane and fishing trip resort, ended up netting that billionaire $2.4 billion, a fortune. Does that bother you? What if it was Justice Sotomayor or Judge Mershon? You know, or Judge Curio? What do you think Trump would say about that?
I have to find out if they agree with me or not, and then I can make a statement.
Right. Bought and paid for Samuel Alito with political flags flying in his front yard, ethical rules and conflict of interest rules, those are for y'all plebeians. They're not for me. I'm the man. Justice Samuel Alito, don't worry, I'm not even done taking him down yet. We got time. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. This matters. It matters a lot because we're all supposed to be equal under the law.
I don't like your attitude.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I've got Brian Kelly with me in the booth. It's Justice Samuel Alito Takedown Day, May 22nd, between the hours of 2 to 3 p.m. Brought to you by me. Right?
Congratulations.
Little PSA.
You got to start talking to the third person a little better if you're really going to do that correctly. Brought to you by Maggie Dawn.
Maggie Dawn is hated by Alito. Hated. Again, recap. Days after January 6th, Samuel Alito flew a pro-Trump flag in front of his house while a 2020 election case was pending before him, and now has, you know, two critical January 6th-related cases pending before him, again, with the pro-Trump flag a-flying back in 2021. In 2008, Samuel Alito received a luxurious trip, fishing trip to Alaska. By the way, Scalia was also... This happened with him, different trip. But apparently, these guys on the Supreme Court, they really like the expensive fishing and hunting trips.
Sometimes they're just a pain in the butt. I feel like you have to pack up stuff, you have to drive, and then you have to get... Oh, they probably got flown in.
Yeah, private flights.
Yeah.
Performative masculinity, anyone.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that.
You know who they should ask about that? Harrison Butker. I bet he's all for the hunting and fishing.
Look, and don't get me wrong.
I know
some wonderful people with hunting and fishing. Honestly, if you really do want to go hunting, go talk to Joel Clayfish. He'll take
you.
Yes. That guy can cook.
An actual hunt, fish, camp guy.
He walks the walk, talks the talk, and hides in that tree for hours.
Yeah. Yep. Billionaire paid for his trip back in 2008. By 2016, Justice Alito had not recused himself from the 10-plus cases, 10, or maybe I think it was exactly 10, I don't want to overstate it, cases of that billionaire that had been before the Supreme Court. And by 2016, the Supreme Court had ruled in favor of that billionaire, netting that billionaire $2.4 billion more. So those are actual conflicts of interest. Shall I go on? Sure. Please do. June 20th, 2023, ProPublica comes out with the expose on Alito. This was months after their similar expose about, you know, that other Supreme Court justice with all the gifts and freebies and all that stuff, Justice Clarence Thomas. On June 23rd, and by the way, Alito refused to give ProPublica a comment. On June 23rd, Alito comes out with an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal explaining why, of course, none of the ethical rules apply to me. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, yeah, there can't be a possible way that any judge could even possibly be conflicted in the first place.
No. Then his favorable treatment by the Wall Street Journal continues on July 28th of 2023. He did a series of interviews with a Wall Street Journal reporter and a lawyer by the name of David B. Rifkin, who happens to also be the lawyer on a tax case that was then pending before the Supreme Court. I really can't make this stuff up.
Wow, I was going to say Rifkin does sound very familiar.
Yes. That case was Moore versus the United States. The case was pending before the court. This lawyer was the lawyer for one of the parties, and he's doing a friendly, cushy, cush job Wall Street Journal interview with Justice Alito. Of course, no problem there. What did that then begat? Dick Durbin writes a letter to the Chief Justice, Justice Roberts, saying, Alito's got to recuse himself from Moore versus the United States because he just... There's a mutual back-scratching happening here. Roberts does nothing. But then Alito gets the last word and attaches to a Supreme Court series of cert grants or denials. This is the thing that they use to either decide to hear a case or not. On September 8th, Alito decides to write a little missive that attaches to the cert decisions about why, of course, he doesn't need to recuse himself again. Which brings to mind the doth protesteth. Too much. Now, in the midst of all of this, I've just laid out the timeline and the right. We're on to conflict of interest number three. If you're keeping score, we're nearly to a bingo. I'll get you to the bingo five in a row, diagonal, across, up and down.
You don't even have to use the bonus in the middle.
You don't. Five. Yeah. So, during this entire period of time in 2023, here's what else is happening. The Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light scandal broke. That happened in March of 2023. In July of 2023, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals allowed a trans care ban to go in effect. Everyone knew, because the Biden administration said it at the time, everyone knew that these trans care bans are eventually going to be before the Supreme Court, right? It's just happening. In late July and early August, so at the same time these op-eds about conflicts are happening, in late July and early August, the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal start talking about how Anheuser-Busch, the maker of Bud Light, how Anheuser-Busch stock is taking a beating and they don't think that Bud Light's ever going to really recover. And that this then leads to, so the last article about it, Wall Street Journal, August 8th. On August 13th, an anti-LGBTQ activist puts out a huge post on Twitter calling Dylan Mulvaney a man. It ends up getting millions and millions of views. That is on a Sunday. On Monday morning, Samuel Alito sells off his Anheuser-Busch stock and buys an equivalent amount of Molson Coors stock. Why does this matter? Oh, well, he just wanted to unload this. Well, Bud Light's not going to take down Anheuser-Busch, first of all. It was a blip. But what was happening was a boycott. What is a boycott? It's political speech.
Huh.
Hmm. So, box number four, this is Justice Alito engaging in a boycott. It's a problem.
Great job.
Yeah. And what did that lead to? Of course, there's May 17th, 2024. Of course, there's another letter from Dick Durbin saying, hey, we need some Supreme Court ethics rules. And I am not even going to have time to talk about this Consumer Financial Protection Bureau case, which I will do on Friday with my guest, Daniel Cotter, an expert on the Chief Justices of the Supreme Court, a lawyer out of Chicago. Really excited for Dan to join me. I just don't get it. This ain't okay.
Fun fact, Anheuser-Busch and also Molson Coors are foreign companies.
Yeah. Interesting. We're going to move on, folks. Really excited to have my next couple of guests queued up. Genevieve Redston of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is going to talk to us about what is going on with the housing authority at the city of Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere. News, weather, and sports are up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am judge, jury, and executioner.
That's the issue of stare decisis.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our Women Win Wisconsin profile from Motherhood for Good visits with State Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius. She's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.